Welcome to the Bible study. I appreciate you joining us live and in person and all through the Fruited Plain via the www web, World Wide Web. We appreciate everybody. We enjoy you tuning in and being part of our church family. I wanted to mention the Kings wrote in, and also Sharon Rose Greenwood Seabolt. She said, "I'll be there. Sure wouldn't miss it. Thank you for being on the web. We appreciate you joining us live." And she's in California. If you are out there, let us know either via Facebook or my text, which is 334-669-0920. Only text only during the preaching, but that is my cell phone number. You can call me anytime. All right. Any questions? I wanted to ask about Deborah.
She's somewhat the same. She has her moments where she's sleeping a little bit more, I think. She's kind of a little irritable on because she's kind of in the bed. It's just really getting frustrated.
Yeah, it's hard to move. Yes.
Jackie's niece passed yesterday.
What was the problem there? Heart?
No, she had, he told her when you get your blood filter.
Dialysis.
Yeah. So, and then,
well, that's kind of what Deborah's got.
Blood filter around the heart, lung.
That's what, when you hear me coughing, that's what I've got.
Yeah.
That's congested heart failure. That's what she'll die of, is congested heart failure, Deborah.
Jim Willis is doing better. I hadn't heard whether they closed his heart up or not, but they put the pump in. The pump was doing good, and they had him back with sponges, and I'm going to wait a day or two.
I tried to reach him today to see what the deal was with him so we could get...
The phone don't work in the hospital is what it boils down to, so they can only leave a message, and then when they come out, they'll talk to you.
Okay. All right. Anyone else just following up on prayers from Sunday? All right. Go to 1 Corinthians. Now, you know, we've been talking about grace, 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 and you definitely... God's grace. And I'm hoping that the group from Kentucky is listening in, because we covered this pretty extensively. And I do believe in total grace. I don't believe there's a thing that once you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior that could ever send you to hell. I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. I believe it's a gift of God. I believe it's a complete gift. I don't think it's partial, and you get part of it when you get there and you tag home base. I don't think that's the case.
Well, I know,
but
what? The people that preach it, they wind up contradicting themselves through and through their ministry.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. You either believe that he paid it all, or you believe he paid it all and you've got to do something in order to keep it. That's the deal. But I do believe, listen to me carefully, in Christian responsibility. I don't believe it's the will of God for you to booze it up, run out and commit adultery, beat your wife, murder. I don't believe it's okay. I believe you'll be saved. But I believe that can affect you, your life. And your ministry.
Amen.
And I think, you know, you can talk about grace and grace and grace and grace, but then, you know, sometimes we want to use that little grace for an occasion to the flesh.
That's right.
And you got to be cautious. Look, if you will, in 1 Corinthians. By the way, just so the guys listen, don't mumble. They hear everything you say, every page turn in your Bible. If you got a question or a comment, please ask the question in the comment, because people may be asking. But just to talk amongst yourself, like you guys having a conversation, they hear that and it interferes with them actually hearing the message that we're actually putting on. So if you guys can help us do that, Everybody tries to beat me to my verse. That's fine. I don't really care. I'll probably get them there. But, you know, as I get older and I get more forgetful, you might be more helpful. But right now, I think I got that even under control. Just let the people grow in grace and realize they're starting back where you were when you were first in grace too. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I want to start with this verse because I do believe all things are lawful. And I believe that the work is finished. Look in verse 12 in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. The Bible says, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not what?
Expedient.
And really, if you think about that in just in a... simple truth, you've got to accept that. Are all things lawful?
Yes.
That's very hard to accept, isn't it? But he's saying not all things are going to bring about the results you're looking for. They're not going to bring about the results. They're selfish things that will cause you to fail in your ministry. And I can tell you, it can be very, very simple. Now, you don't have the right to give up your liberty. You understand? Because that would be giving up grace and going back under the law. And God doesn't want you to do that at all. But there are some certain things that God wants you to understand. For example, go to Romans. Oh, by the way, I might add at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, put 1 Corinthians 10, verse 23. And it says it again. Look at 1 Corinthians 10, verse 23. Right there by 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12.
10:23.
Yes. And then turn there for a minute and let me look. Again, it reiterates that. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not what?
Expedient.
All things are lawful unto me, but all things edify not. Some things would take away from the edifying of the Word of God. Y'all understand? So you've got to be cautious if you're serious about the ministry and you're serious about your testimony. The thing you're protecting is a testimony. I had Rosita sit down, and I hope she's watching tonight. Rosita sat down and says, well, you know, I understand this grace, but, you know, you can really mess up people with this grace saying. And I said, what do you mean? Well, what happens if they caught you out there totally stoneball drunk? It could affect your testimony forever. Those religious people, see, they're looking for a reason to not accept grace. Y'all understand? They're zoomed in to say, hey, what can I find in your life that ain't quite right that I can hammer you with and nail it so that they don't have to believe in grace. And listen, all you're doing is protecting your ministry or your testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you know, I don't want this. I'm not putting anybody under the law. I'm not trying to slide them up under the realm of the kingdom message. I'm going to show you what the Apostle Paul said. The very first thing you have to learn is to walk in grace a little bit. And I would go to Romans chapter 14. In Romans chapter 14, I'd look there. I've got some nephews and nieces that I believe are saved. They're trusting the Lord. But I believe they're affecting their testimony by the way they live. They could be much more effectual ministers of the grace of God and the minister of grace by watching their actions. Now, I do believe that. You know, people say, well, my dad comes up all the time and says, it's grace, you got to let it go, it's grace. Well, that's true, it is grace. And it's true, I don't judge them for it. Because you know what, I'm as guilty as the next person. But when it comes to testimony, I guarantee you there's people they couldn't witness to because of the action they've taken. You know how I know? I've been in that same position myself. Did you hear me? I'm no better than they are. I don't claim to be any better. You know what the Bible says? I'm carnal, sold under sin. You got it?
That's why it's so hard for family members to worship you. To talk to them about leading them to the Lord and things, because they know them so well, and they know that, you know, things they've done in the past. It's kind of hard to say, how can you tell me you've done all this? You know, so quick to judge.
But Dale, you hit it right on the nose. They do. And listen, here's the thing: if you go around, you might be naive if you think otherwise.
Right.
Lost people are going to judge you harsher than they judge themselves.
That's right.
That's a fact. So this is the solution. Time to do the whole thing. I want to start up in the passage just a little bit. I'm going to start in 14. I'll come back and hit the first part of 14 later, but I want to go to Romans 14, verse 14. Well, come up to 13. All right. Well, verse 12. I'm on it. It's all good. You know, just read the whole chapter. You know, people always, that's always been a really torker for me, is some of these people think I don't read the whole chapter. Rather, I try to put things in the context of the chapter.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But you must read the whole chapter. You all understand? Mm-hmm. You cannot hear this sermon tonight and not go home and read all of Romans 14. That would be embarrassing if you did that.
Right.
Went home and didn't read it? Are you kidding me? Verse 12. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Now, let me ask you, are any of us going to give an account for our sin?
No.
No.
Our sin was laid upon the Lord. So sin that used to be here is now been planted here. So what is he going to judge you for? From the moment you get saved.
Your conduct.
It's going to be your doctrine.
It's going to be your doctrine and why and how you protected that doctrine. You got it? It's not going to be your conduct necessarily, because we're all going to fail at that. Amen? All have sinned. We're going to fail. Paul failed. We're all going to fail. But it's how you take the doctrine and protect it. And that's a little bit even from yourself.
Right.
But look what he says. Praise the Lord. I don't know who just texted that to me. You need to put your name when you text that, because I have no clue who the number is. Verse 12 again. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Well, you're not going to give an account of your sin, are you?
No.
That's been paid for. But how you protect this truth, how you uphold this truth, how you stand for this truth, and what you did for this truth, plus God is going to come into judgment. How I preach this truth is going to come into judgment. How I treated you guys will come into judgment based upon the doctrine he told me to do. Y'all understand? Make no mistake, that is going to be a fact. It's not going to be your action. It's not going to be whether you drink a margarita or not. That's not the key. It's going to be, did you get the doctrine down, and did you uphold it, and did you support it financially, and did everything you could, every aspect of your life you could do to help protect that truth, that's what you're going to be judged for. And that does include, as Wayne yelled, some conduct. Why, look what it says. The first thing is, let us not therefore judge one another anymore. Should we judge each other?
No.
No, we're not going to go, well, that person over there is drinking. That person over there is Oh, thank you, Rhoda. Let me turn the ringer off. I can see when it does it. Then, y'all understand? So it is not an issue of whether you're to keep the law or whatever. But come on, we're not supposed to judge one another anymore. Why? Christ paid for all those sins at Calvary. Amen.
Amen.
You know, we ought to have a humble attitude like Paul. We ought not to have a high-minded... You know, the Bible says not be high-minded. Don't think of yourself above that which you thought. Don't do that. Be humble. And know that what we're doing is defending the faith, boys and girls. You're showing up on Sundays and Wednesdays and stuff isn't a requirement necessarily for you. But how would it affect you? How would it affect you if you were the new person and nobody was here?
You'd wonder why.
You'd wonder why. Is this truth worth hearing? And just by not being here, you could be a stumbling block. Mm-hmm. Y'all understand? Just by you not being here. That's why when I go to Bible conferences, I make sure I come back. You know, once in a while, I want you, stay. I'm going to stay and vacate too. And most of the time, I'm going to be back here on Sunday. You know why? This is my ministry. This is where God called me to. This is what God called me to do. Now, I don't know what God called you to do. Maybe God called you to just float. You're a floater. You just float, 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 and that's good. Maybe that's what God called you to do. But He didn't call me to do that. You all understand? He told me to take care of this place that we're doing and trying to do what we can do. But we're not to judge one another anymore. And that is probably the hardest spiritual truth we will ever get over to do. If you ever accomplish that, you will have accomplished a mighty task. Mm-hmm. I have not accomplished that yet. Working to try not to judge people. Yes?
So now, I have a case where if you see someone doing something, you say, well, yeah, that person is doing it. That's not judging. It's just calling a spade a spade.
Well, and I'm going to show you that at the end. You know, I mean, I think Galatians 6 deals with that verse that you can go to a brother that's overtaken in a fault. And we'll deal with this probably after this passage.
Well, sometimes it's just automatic. You do it.
You do
it. You do it, and that's wrong. You know, what am I doing? You know, you just...
You know, but when you see a brother that doesn't know he's caught in a fault, you know, then it's okay to go to him. You just don't want to go like, hey, I've got it under control. I'm Joe Christian. Look at me. Because you know what I found out about that? You will probably fall in the ditch. Just be prepared. All right, let's go on. Verse 13. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Now, let's just get it straight up. I believe I have the right, if I want to have a glass of wine. I believe God would be perfectly fine with it. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ and I could have a glass of wine together. You all understand? I don't think there's anything wrong with it. But I can tell you, I've been out with a glass of wine at a nice restaurant, and I had people came over, and I said, one time I was at the Bonefish, and somebody literally came up and said, I thought you were a preacher. See, they were offended by that glass of wine. Y'all understand? And I wasn't ashamed, or I didn't come into condemnation and didn't feel guilty. But I wish I hadn't done it, because now I don't know whether I can witness to that person.
Yes, sir.
You understand? Now, if I'd had a glass of wine at home and nobody saw me, would God have cared?
No.
Would God care whether I had it out there? No. As long as I'm not being a stumbling block. And listen, as soon as you become a stumbling block, you have lost your tool of witness because your purity has been called into question.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying it's not okay to do. I don't care if people go out and have a beer once in a while, but if they see you out on the golf course drinking four or five beers and swinging the golf club and cussing and doing all that, You, and they see you, and then they hear you're a preacher, or that you're a Bible student, or you're trying to study the Word of God, rightly divided, you have just caused that brother or that person, lost or saved, to stumble, and that is not what God wants to happen. Yes?
Well, where is it that it says something about the grinding stone, and tie a grinding stone, a grinding wheel around your neck?
We're talking about
Matthew.
Yeah, that's not about
influence
the
child.
I don't know. Not to offend.
It's better to tie a millstone around your neck than to offend. Yeah, I know the basic verse. It's in Matthew, I think. But don't get that legalistic. All you have to understand is what you don't want to do is cause your brother to stumble or to fall.
Right.
World is so eager to want to call us hypocrites.
They do want to call us hypocrites. They want to judge us. They want to put us down. Hey, listen, one of the guys I'll never get, and you can win people through your weakness. And that's what I want to show you. You know, not every weak moment is given to put a stumbling block. Just a second, Wayne. I'll get to you in just a minute. But I was working at Kmart on a Sunday. And the reason I worked on, hey, Hannah, sit down, honey. You don't need to go for 1 hour. I guarantee your bladder will hold it. Thank you. Just wait. You'll be good. Whole thing is I was working on Sunday. And the reason we were working on Sunday is Friday night was my Bible class up in Port Arthur with Jimmy and Jan Brown. And we would drive 2 hours to class every day. People say, well, I have a hard time making it to class. I understand. I drove 2 hours to get to my Bible class. But we did it, and the trade-off was I had to work on Sundays, which was fine with me because my Bible class was on Friday, and that's where I would learn. And Brother Richard Deegan, buddy, that was an experience. That'll go down in grace history forever. That man was in very interesting, a brick mason, and he was all of a brick mason. Arms and hair like, he reminded me of John the Baptist, you know, what he might have looked like, you know, just wild. Anyway, one Sunday I asked Brad Schumann, and I had been Mr. Upright trying to live for the Lord, and I think I was right in doing that. Because people were looking at me. My nickname at Kmart wasn't manager or Mr. Hampton, it was Preacher Man. They all called me Preacher Man. And I liked that because I wanted to become a preacher. I think that was always my desire from the time I got saved. But I really tried to hold my vessel up in honor and try not to just go out and do it. And man, I mean, buddy, I went through the fire. Right. In corporate life, people want you to go out and drink with them. I mean, it's a really an amazing thing, actually. Yeah. And I resisted all that, although, you know, I'm sure I'd like a drink like anyone else. You know, days get long too, you know. But I didn't. But that one Sunday afternoon, I told Brad, and I got mad. And, buddy, I just cussed like a sailor. I mean, I let it rip. I said, you guys get your over here and fill this, and, you know, and that. And I'm telling you, all three of them did this.
Gotcha.
The preacher cussed. You know what I mean? And I told him, I said, look, I've been telling you for 6 months now that I'm not any good. And you just got to see a sample of it. And if you want to see more, just have this end cap not looking good in 5 minutes. And I'll show you a little bit more. Okay? Well, Brad Schumann understood that I had been telling him there's none good, no, not one. And I flat made a mistake. And I did. It was wrong. Would I do it again? Absolutely, yes. You know, that or a 2x4 was going to start swinging. You know what I mean? I'd rather cuss at them than beat the hell out of them. You know what I mean? That was a joke. Okay, probably not too funny. But anyway, and reality is that Brad Schumann ended up getting saved about three or four weeks later after that. I don't know exactly when. He came in and hugged my neck and he said, I understand what you mean. See, I don't believe there's any good. No, I'm not any good. But see, people are looking at me and they want to see whether I'm going to falter or stutter or thing. And let me tell you what, all it takes is one stumble and they won't ever listen to you again. There's a guy named Larry up there that is a couple of the boys' daddy. And I guarantee you, if he ever caught those boys drinking or raising hell or doing anything, he would never listen to Grace ever, ever again. Say, well, I want to win my dad to the Lord. Then you got to, hey, listen, you better guard your testimony. Does that make sense? Why? You do not want, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Now, I know, look at how he runs this around in verse 14. I know, and I'm persuaded by the Lord Jesus, that there is nothing unclean of itself. Isn't that fantastic? I mean, he's putting grace. I know. And even the Lord knows that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that anything, esteem anything to be unclean, to him it's unclean. So if that daddy thinks drinking is a sin, and he sees his kids doing it, even though it's right, guess what? It causes him to stumble. And you've left the opportunity to win him for all eternity. Can you imagine that that one thing might send somebody to hell that you knew and you loved and you wanted to get saved and you wanted to have eternal life, but because they caught you drinking or cussing or sleeping around like a whore, or a whoremonger if you're a guy, and that one thing for all eternity would never believe the grace message, that one thing causes them to go to hell, you in a sense just went ahead and pushed that brother right up into hell. That's what you did. Say, well, that's a lot of responsibility. Grace comes with a heavy amount of responsibility. Grace is not the license to sin. It never has been. Grace has never been an occasion to just live your life anyway. You damn well please. No way, no how. Y'all understand? God's not interested in that at all. God wants you to uphold. He does not want you to go back under the commandments. He doesn't want you to become a legalist. He doesn't want to think you're better than someone else. He doesn't want you to get a haughty attitude of how good you are. Because you know what? The Bible says clearly, there is none good, no, not one. That's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 3. All of our righteousness, even the stuff that we're doing to try to keep people from stumbling, all of our righteousness is nothing but what?
Filthy rags.
Filthy rags. It ain't going to pile up. It's not going to add. But your testimony affects everyone you come in contact with, whether you like it or not. You with me? Yes.
So then by that guy seeing you drink a glass of wine or seeing me drink a glass of wine becomes a stumbling block, and so God's going to be mad at me about it? I mean...
No. But you will be judged if you caused him to err based upon that.
I mean, how come? Because it says a little wine is good for the stomach.
You're absolutely right. But the guy that you were doing it in front of. Now, if you do a little wine, this is my suggestion. Do it at home. You shouldn't be driving and drinking anyway.
Well, couldn't we just show him that scripture in the Bible that it says?
You can. Yes. And
so then we wouldn't be doing the stumbling block.
No, I try to teach that in grace. Jesus Christ drank wine himself.
He sure did.
No, but you understand, but to a person, let me read the verse 14 again. I know, and I'm persuaded by the Lord Jesus. I mean, he's persuaded by him. This is the one that's laid it out. That there is nothing unclean of itself. Is that true? I put Romans chapter 6, verse 12, right there. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12. I'm picking my Bible pen. But to him that esteems anything to be what?
Welcome to attendee number 5.
Now, why would you be drinking wine
and
in front of
folks,
someone
we'll get started in just another couple of minutes, waiting on the others
or
to join
us.
Or
that it's a sin.
But I might not even know that he thought it was unclean. Well, no, I'm just standing on a little
line of spiritual device. No, it is. It absolutely is. And I just read the verse that there is nothing unclean of itself. But can that little bit be a stumbling block to somebody else? Yes or no? So don't do it in front of those people. If you want to have a glass of wine, come over to the preacher's house. I'll have a glass of wine with you. I don't have a problem. You understand? But I wouldn't go around saying, I got a new crowd, let me just hang out and have four or five glasses of wine. I wouldn't do that, Gene. Do you understand? I mean, you know, if you want to come over to my house and have a little glass of wine, I'll invite you over. That's not a big deal, because you know the truth. But those people that don't know the truth, that are judgmental and they're hostile and trying to put down your ministry,